Philippians 5, and stick your finger right back in 3 John. We're going to use Galatians just for a brief shining moment to springboard. It'll be gone in the twinkling of an eye. I'm using a familiar couple of verses here. We went through on Wednesday nights, we went through Galatians, and we talked about the fruits of the Spirit. And I talked about every single one of the fruits of the Spirit, except I missed one. So I thought I'd talk about it tonight. I missed goodness. My wife reminded me of that afterwards. And I'm like, oh yeah, goodness. It's maybe the forgotten fruit. But tonight's message will be follow, which is good. We'll read Galatians 5, 22 and 23. It says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. Against such there is no law. When we talk about goodness, this word, it's similar in terms, I want to say, to gentleness. In other words, the word gentleness, the Greek word behind it, is also translated goodness. So we get to see two variations of the word goodness here. But the word we're going to be looking at, goodness, is agathosune. And that word is not just good as in I'm doing well, I'm hanging out, I'm doing good things, I'm doing all right. This is more intense. This word has several pleasing qualities, which the Greek refers to. In one in particular, it's this idea that its character is energized, expressing itself, benevolent, active good. There's more activity in this goodness than in gentleness. Goodness does not spare sharpness and rebuke to cause good in others. Let me read that sentence over again. This goodness does not spare sharpness and rebuke to cause good in others. A person may display his goodness, his zeal for goodness, and in truth, in rebuking, correcting, or chastising. Christ's righteous indignation in the temple in Matthew 21:13 showed his agathosune, his goodness, but not his gentleness. We're talking about goodness, and it doesn't come across the way you'd think. Being a Christian that has the fruit of the Spirit, when we're having our fruit being plucked, when we're looking at this fruit, when we're looking at this fruit and we're observing what fruit we have, are you missing this type of goodness? Are you missing this? Now, you can use this definition. Goodness is not just the absence of evil, but rather the continual doing of good. It's different. It's different. This does not mean you get to earn your way to heaven, but once you are saved, you should be striving for this. Think about at work when you see an issue. Someone's trying to be unethical. Do you say something to them? Do you point it out to the boss? When you have someone doing something wrong in the church, do you hope someone else notices? I'm not talking about gray line issues. I'm talking about the big things that stick out. A backbiting church member. Rumors being spread. Is this something you stand up to? Where is your goodness in action? What do you let go on at home? Goodness is not an absence of evil, but rather the continual doing of goodness. Let's turn to John, or 3 John. We talk about being good people. What you find a lot of times is someone struggling to figure out what goodness is. They'll say things like this if they're on a diet. I've been good this week. I've been good. I haven't had too many cheeseburgers, or I haven't had cheeseburgers. I'm not going to say bacon. I haven't done something bad. Or the person who's drinking, who has a habitual problem of drinking, I don't drink that much anymore. Or I haven't had a drink this week. Or I haven't cursed this week. Or I haven't, and it's usually in about time frame of a week. What people do, being good is not the absence of doing evil. It's replacing it with doing something good. It's not that I can say, well, I quit going to the tavern. It's replacing it with doing something good. In John, the apostle, we get to see that he does all sorts of good. And he uses some pretty good examples here in 3 John. And we're going to go through them. But number one is the encouragement. I'm going to read the first 8 verses here. It says, the elder, unto the well-beloved Gaius, whom I love in the truth. Beloved, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health, even as thy soul prospereth. For I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee. Even as thou walkest in the truth, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in the truth. Beloved, thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to the strangers, which have borne witness of thy charity before the church, whom, if thou bring forward on their journey after a godly sort, thou shalt do well, because that for his name's sake they went forth, taking nothing of the Gentiles. We therefore ought to receive such, that we might be fellow helpers in the truth. I think about this. Some people think they have one tool in the toolbox. One tool. I stole this from the closet, so if it doesn't come back, you know where it is. They got one tool, and they use this tool for everything. Oh, we got a minor problem at work. Crack, 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 beat the employee down. We got a minor problem at church. Crack, 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 beat the employee down. My children are acting up. Crack, crack, crack. Brian, is this the only tool you have in your toolbox? I do sometimes, and it's not a very good thing. We need to learn how to use other tools. And here we get to see that John sets down the hammer for a moment. He pulls out a different tool. He pulls out encouragement. I don't have that tool, encouragement. But when you're talking to somebody, a young person, I don't know how young Gaius is, but he's probably younger than John, mostly because John is pretty old. But here we get to see that Gaius isn't coming out with the hammer. He's not saying, can you believe what's going on in your church? How come you're not handling this thing in your church? And we get to see some of the problems that are streaking out there. But why aren't you taking care of this? Do you know what? I leave you alone for 5 minutes and you keep screwing up. He talks about some of the good things. Have you ever been on the end of a boss beating before? I was worried. I saw him coming up. I thought I was getting axed. I'm like, I'm getting the boss beating. Have you ever been on the end of a boss beating before? You come in the office, the boss says, what are you doing? The sales aren't up. You don't have the right information. You showed up to work late. You didn't give me the right answer. You go to church. You know what? You're not wearing the right tie. You're not wearing the right shirt. You're not smelling the right way. You walk right in front of me. Do you know who I am? I am the assistant pastor. You must come before me and carry me around. I cannot walk on my own. And all you get is beat down and beat down and beat down and beat down and beat down. Here John teaches us a very valuable lesson about goodness. Goodness can start with encouraging someone else. When was the last time you encouraged someone else? There's 8 verses of encouragement. 8 verses. He uses the term beloved 4 times in the chapter. He uses it in verse 1, in verse 2, in verse 5, in verse 11. The title beloved is spoken of Christians as united with God or with each other in the bonds of holy love. It is a very intimate title to give someone that, and shows you that the elder, John, has great care for Gaius. This is a tender relationship that's developed between an older Christian and a younger Christian. When was the last time you had a tender relationship with a younger Christian or an older one? I mean, a real tender relationship where you can really open up with somebody, ask them some tough questions, or have them ask you some tough questions. Really pray for one another. Have someone call you right out of the blue. Hey, brother, I love you. How are you doing today? Whew, that sounds like hard work. Could you imagine writing a thank you card for almost nothing at all? We were blessed. Someone gave us eggs. Someone came over and dropped off 4 dozen eggs. Does that deserve a thank you card? Yes. They encourage us. I encourage them. We encourage each other because this is all we have. This is it. We need to learn that we are beloved with one another. We have to have a tender relationship. Remember, goodness is not the absence of evil. I got rid of all my bad friends and now I sit in the pew and I don't talk to anyone after church. I just head right home and I just live my life. This is more than just a place to hear preaching. This is more than a preaching point. This is a place to be encouraged by one another, to bear one another's burdens, to do something great. Here we get to see that Gaius was encouraged. In verse 2, I wish above all things that thou mayest prosper and be in health. Verse 3, for I rejoiced greatly when the brethren came and testified of the truth that is in thee, even as thou walkest in the truth. Have you ever heard someone say something good about another Christian, and then you tell that Christian, you don't have to give names, but you ever told the Christian, yeah, someone's saying some really nice things about the work you do. I heard you do a really good job in Sunday school. I asked, I'm going to embarrass Tim Thanis, he loves it because he's hidden in the back, wherever he's hidden. I heard Randy DePoppy, Brother DePoppy wasn't here. Now the camera's off, the mic is off. Brother DePoppy wasn't in church on Wednesday night for whatever reason. And I go, well, Reagan, who taught you on Wednesday night? He goes, Mr. Thanis. I said, how did Mr. Thanis do? He did awesome. And he gave praise of Brother Thanis. So you know what I did? I told him. I said, you know what? My kid thought you were great. When was the last time you gave a positive report to another brother or sister in Christ? I heard you're doing really good. They're going to think something's wrong because no one gives positive reinforcement. What do you mean I'm doing good? What do you want from me? Do you know that phone call you get from that person and you know? They may talk to you for 10 minutes, but the first 9 minutes is just buttering you up to get to the question of what do they really want? Do you know what I really need? I need you to help move. Oh. Or could you do me a favor? Could you? Oh. And it just deflates everything else. Sometimes you just have to encourage one another because it's just the right thing to do. Verse 4, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. He's talking about a spiritual child here, but when was the last time you encouraged your own child when they're walking in the truth? And I don't mean just little kids, I mean adult kids. Thank your adult kids. I'm praying to the end that all my kids would serve Jesus Christ to the very end. Do I know if that's going to happen? But I want to make sure that when they do get to that age, I continually remind them that I'm thankful that they're serving Jesus Christ. Because it's a treat to be able to see that your children are serving Jesus Christ. Thou doest faithfully whatsoever thou doest to the brethren and to strangers. Encourage faithfulness. Then these people, born witness of thy charity before the church. Taking nothing of the Gentiles, we therefore ought to receive such that we might be fellow helpers to the truth. Wow! I double dog dare you. I triple dog dare you. Encourage somebody. On purpose. You want to tell me how good you are? Show me your goodness. And I don't mean write me praise. I have a big enough head. But tell somebody what they're doing right. Look out for it. Keep your peepers open for somebody doing something right. We're so quick to show what someone's doing wrong. Find out what somebody's doing right. That sounds like work. Yes, I want you to work. You're saved. You're supposed to work. That non-working days are over. Here are several verses worth of gushing. Can you name a young Christian doing work in the church and what they exactly do around here? If I were to name a name, I'm not going to pronounce Nathan's last name, but could screw it up from the pulpit. Do you guys know what Nathan does around here? Nah. You know what Sal does around here? Security. Do you know what? Find out what people do. Ask them. And if they're not doing anything, find something for them to do. Pastor Brown, I caught one! We got a guy we baptized here just a couple months ago. He's on visitation now. Praise God. And I'm grateful he's there, and I just had to tell him, thank you for coming. I really appreciate it. It's encouraging. Encourage a pastor. Shock the pastor. Find someone else to be fellow laborers with. So find that person. Write down two or three tasks they are good at. So you found the person. Now write two or three things they are good at. Number 3, let them know. Write it down. Tell them. I know the primary focus of the church is Jesus Christ. I get that. Now, I even know the guys who get the most face time around here aren't looking for a national holiday. Pastor Brown isn't looking for a national holiday. Pastor Longstein is not looking for a national holiday. Mike Strickland's not looking for a national holiday. We don't need the praise, but find somebody who are in the crevices, who get left out, who sit in the choir every week, who show up to choir practice every single week, who do security detail, who count the offering, who teach Sunday school. Find somebody like that and offer them just 3 or 4 sentences of something they do well. Thank you for your faithfulness. That should be the first challenge of putting goodness in action, is encouraging another Christian, especially encourage a Christian if they're new. They need it. We hear too many negative things. Rightfully so, but we need to also find opportunity to give praise to some folks. So, Gaius, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful, you're wonderful. Everything's great, everything's great, everything's awesome. And now we have a problem. Now we got the problem. I never, ever, 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 ever want to be this dude. Verse 9. I wrote unto the church, but Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, receiveth us not. Wherefore, if I come, I will remember his deeds, which he doeth, prating against us with malicious words, and not content therewith, neither doth he himself receive the brethren, and forbiddeth them that would, and casteth them out of the church. Beloved, follow not that which is evil. Diotrephes. What a terrible guy. John shows his goodness by exposing. First word was encouragement. Second one's exposing. John shows his goodness by exposing what's wrong. I thank God that Pastor Brown's been teaching on 1 Corinthians. What a great way to show goodness than showing us what's rotten. You're doing good. Let me tell you about someone who's doing rotten in your midst. Now, do I want name calling from the pulpit? Well, probably not. All the time. But we can't have goodness just sit there and observe evil go on without it ever being noted, without it ever being questioned, without it ever being even looked at. There's nothing going on here. Everything is going fine at First Baptist Church. We have the world's best Christians. This is the world's best church. Christians are wonderful. Independent Fundamental Baptists have all the best people in them, and we're doing great. There's no need to say anything. If it says Baptist in the name of the church, we don't question it. Is that being good?
No.
To be good, to show goodness, you have to be able to observe not just the good things encouraging. I pray that you encourage somebody. You also have to be able to be smart enough to be able to expose darkness. You have to be light. You have to shine that out. You got to weed out the cockroaches. You want to be good? Weed out the cockroaches. Get rid of them. I'm not talking about to whittle down the church to a number I can handle. I want this to be God's church, and I want God to get the glory, and I want the pews filled. I thought there was a rapture in that section tonight. I was a little worried. I mean, I know there's not a lot of people, but we need more people in here, no doubt about it. I want more people here. But we have to be able to expose evil. And if we can't say, in so many words, who Diotrephes, who loveth to have the preeminence among them, there's a problem. Preeminence. More so, the probability is that Diotrephes was some sort of officer of the church. And I'm uncertain if he was a pastor or a deacon or what he exactly was in the local church, but he seemed to have some power. Be careful for any man that tries to step in front of you and your relationship with Christ. The friend who asks you to skip church. The person who says they have something new. You know, I saw something new in the Bible. It's almost always, well, I'm not going to say almost, it's always something wrong. Always is something wrong with Pastor Brown. You see, I found something new in the Bible. And Pastor Brown's like, no, not you again, Pastor Longson. He has to correct me. We don't find new things in the Bible. It's been around. It's been cut up. And the guys who come up with something new, it's almost always something wrong. The person that excuses sin when it benefits him. You work with a Christian ever? I've worked with a Christian. I've worked for a Christian. I've worked with Christians. I currently have a Christian as a boss. He's a pretty good guy. I was shocked at how many times my Christian boss, not Pastor Brown, and my Christian coworkers would excuse sin when it benefited them. Yeah, it's a little different. It's not a big deal. It's wrong. Sin is sin all the time. When you see someone that's trying to excuse it and benefits that person, it's wrong. Tell them. The group that speaks subversively about the authority of the Bible. When you get a group that talks about how that the Bible isn't quite sure. Do you know, the guys who translated it, they weren't all right. And a better way to translate this would be, they're dangerous. Bible correctors are dangerous. Be wary of them. I saw a church one time where the pastor had his quotes up in the church alongside Bible verses. Be wary of that pastor. When I start putting up my own quotes, you can kick me out. Pastor would probably shoot me first. Anyway, the Sunday school teacher quietly building their Sunday school kingdom that no one else can help in. No one can watch these children but me. I am the king of my Sunday school. Amelia, bow to me. And can I help? You would screw something up. My Sunday school is perfect. And maybe one of the most dangerous ones, and the list could go on, but I'll leave it this, is the Christian that constantly criticizes their pastor for no good reason. I didn't like what the pastor had to say. When he preached, he hurt my feelings. My pastor didn't shake my hand this week. Stop criticizing your pastor. Find ways to encourage him. But be wary when you hear it out those doors. You better watch for it. Because if they're criticizing their pastor, the one that the church at one time felt was of God to be behind the sacred desk, what do you think they're going to say about you? 1 John 2:10, he that loveth his brother abideth in the light, and there is none occasion of stumbling in him. Hey, look, the guy who abides in the light, I'm clear. If you're going to criticize your pastor, just do it right in front of him. If you're going to criticize your authority, do it right in front of them. Have a real man-to-man conversation about it. Don't hide behind closed doors. Don't hide behind secret meetings. Just say it. And I'm saying that about your boss. I'm saying it about your kids. I'm saying it about your parents. Be man enough. If you have a problem, go talk to somebody. Man up. Diotrephes thought whatever title he had given him power above the Lord Jesus Christ. Colossians, turn there. One of the great things about Colossians, it slaps Diotrephes around. Colossians 1:15 through 18 says, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature? For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Jesus Christ should have preeminence in this church. Always. There's never a time when Jesus Christ should not be in preeminence over the pastor. He is the chief shepherd. We are the under shepherds. And if you don't go to First Baptist Church and you go to the next Baptist Church, it should be the same way there. Anyone who thinks they're above Jesus Christ in the church, they are going to have some things to answer for on the other side of eternity. Goodness does not put up with that. I'm kind of scared. The pastor, this guy might not like me. Goodness does not tolerate that kind of behavior. So what to do with preeminence? The second challenge is for you to use your goodness to be strong enough to root out major issues. Let me make sure we have understanding of my challenge. Use goodness to root out major issues. This does not mean you have to sit there and go, Brother Methan's tie was crooked. And I had a 20-minute conversation with them, and I told him never to have his tie crooked again. By the way, is mine crooked? We're talking about the major stuff. You don't need to call out every saint in the world for every difference you have. You don't have time for it. You don't have the preeminence in other believers' lives. And we have bigger fish to fry. But back to the challenge. Don't be a coward in your home. Deal with the problems in your home like a mature Christian. Your daughter wants to wear something that's a little too revealing. Be man enough, be daddy enough to say no. Your kid has something on the iPad or on the iPod. Get it off. It's your house. For me, a big no-no is if the kids talk back to mom. That is a big no-no. That does not happen in my house. I do not think it's cute. I do not think it's fun. be a big enough mommy, be a big enough daddy to handle issues because you are an authority over your kids. You want to show your goodness to your kids? Make sure they understand who the boss is. Be the right person. If you're going to make a big deal out of an issue, you better first examine your own spiritual life and obedience to Christ. A lot of people like doing this. Can you believe the way he does it? Can you believe the way he does it? I don't like the way they play the piano. I don't like the way that chair sits. I don't like the way he leads music. I don't like the way they have the lights on. They're too bright. They're too low. The sound system's too high, too low. It squeals. It does this. But then this person has a million problems in their own life. They just criticize. You better be the person who fixes the things in their life first. Be the right person first. Show your goodness. Make sure the complaint is contrary to what the Bible says, not just what your opinion says. Show reverence and respect before making big claims. Read Matthew 18. Make sure offense isn't just a sign of your preference, but a true Bible issue. Speak to your pastor if you have a doubt. I have a big issue with another person at church. I'm just going to go talk to him and stir up the pot. Throw a bomb right in the middle of it. Can you imagine if you talked to Pastor Brown first? Maybe he might have the answer for you before you cause a big problem. Because most of you just don't have understanding of the situation. Man, how many times have you walked into a situation thinking you knew what was going on and you had to walk with your tail between your legs and look like a fool? Find out the real problem first. And have a spine. Don't let sin go without comment or intervention when it comes. Even at the worst, by the way, we're going to move on here, is even the worst people can be used as a bad example. So, here's good guy Gas. You're awesome. You're wonderful. We love you. You're special. You're sweet. You're my beloved. Oh yeah, this guy, Diotrephes, he's trying to have the preeminence. When we see evil in this world, if you want to display goodness to those around you, tell them about those who fail. I wish every Baptist pastor was faithful, consecrated, and moral, and I can't say that. When my kids are a little bit older, I'll let them know more about some of those moral failures when I see it, but when you see a young person have some problems in life, tell your kids. You don't have to be graphic, you don't have to go overboard, but you can tell when somebody does wrong. This is wrong. Let's say something as simple as Ryan Braun. I told my kids what Ryan Braun did was wrong. He was a cheater. He got caught using PEDs. What's that? Performance-enhancing drugs. He cheated playing baseball, and that's wrong. We don't cheat. It's okay. Those are tough subjects to talk to a kid about, and I'm just using a simple one. Find a way to tell your kids the hard things. Have the spine to do it. Even the worst of us can be used as a bad example. Tell your kids exactly what's in verse 11. Beloved, follow not that which is evil, but that which is good. He that doeth good is of God, and he that doeth evil hath not seen God. You can test if a person is worthy of following. If you look at 1 Timothy 4:12, you don't have to turn there. Let no man despise thy youth, but be thou an example to the believers in word and conversation and charity and spirit and faith and purity. We need to be examples, and we need examples. We need examples. I know there's a lot of bad ones. We need some good ones, too. Parents need to lead their children, not just manage them. Oh, man, I got to change a diaper. I got to feed the kid. You have to do more than just manage. You have to lead your home. You have to be a leader at work. I just want to get my paycheck and move on. You have to do the right thing. You have to lead in righteousness. Because if you don't, who will? We talk about Judeo-Christian ethic getting tossed aside. What do you think is coming up behind you? Humanism. It's me, it's me, it's me. We need to focus on Christ, Christ, Christ. If you're not going to do it right, who's going to do it? Employees need to be good examples to their coworkers. Always do the right thing. Managers need to be the kind of examples that your employees know that you're a real Christian. Church workers, serve, wash feet, get your hands dirty with a smile. Show your goodness by example and follow an example that lines up with Christ. When was the last time you got your hands dirty serving Christ? Usually if you work in a nursery, you get your hands dirty, but that's Fine, good. We're not going to park it there. As we head to the last point, John didn't just tell Gaius which person he should not emulate, but which person he should emulate. Let's go to verse 12. Demetrius hath good report of all men and of the truth itself. Yea, and we also bear record, and ye know that our record is true. I had many things to write, but I will not with ink and pen write unto thee. He's going to meet him face to face, but Demetrius specifically, we're almost trained never to say something good about a good example. Why is that? Why do we never want to say anything good about anybody else? Why don't we? I think it's because we've seen too many failures. Do you ever get nervous when someone gives you unfettered compliment? Oh, you're really doing a good job. You're like, oh boy, here we go. I'm about to go face first down into something. If someone's doing a good job, and from what you can see, they're doing a good job, tell your kids, that person's doing a good job. And when they fail, tell them they failed and explain it to them. We're part of what's called the human race, and we fail. But we don't fail all the time. There's some wonderful things that Christians are doing today. I want my kids to have the servant spirit of, and fill in the blank. There's a lot of people here I could name. I want my kids to have these godly examples that you guys portray to my children. And I'm not going to be afraid to say there's nothing wrong with being like a Tim Thanis or a Mike Strickland or an Adam Boney or a Jared Methven. I want my kids to learn how to get their hands dirty serving Christ and doing it with a smile. There's nothing wrong with naming somebody. Well, what if they fail? Then take care of the situation. They were doing well, but Satan got between him and Christ and he fell. I know that's hard for us to do. But John names Demetrius, doesn't he? Demetrius hath good report of all men. Now, I don't know if Demetrius is part of the church or he's some common friend between Gaius and John. I don't know. All I know is that Demetrius does have good report of all men and of truth itself. I love it. I think we need to keep our eyes on the Lord Jesus Christ at all times. There is a method to learn how someone does live a holy life. If you ever ask somebody, how do you do it? We're in a home builders class and we're talking about raising children right now. Who here has all the answers on how to raise children? All right, I don't see any liars out there. So we're sitting there in class trying to brainstorm, what do you guys do? What works for you? And we can get some ideas from one another. We can really learn how to get some good ministry ideas off one another. When the place I came from, when we'd work, we had a system that we put on the floor for our employees and they could click on. It was called a continuous improvement request. And they would click on that and they would type in what they thought maybe we could fix and what the suggestion would be. Because you get your best ideas from the guys on the floor. You get your best ideas from those who are doing the work. And if you just go, I can't listen to anyone else, I just have to look to Jesus Christ, and you have a Bible, and the Bible does have all truth in it, and I'm thankful for it, but God also gave us brothers, which we could lean on. And how do you lean on Christians if we could never look to one another being a good example? Show your goodness. Be the good example. Show your goodness. Show your kids or show your coworkers what a good example is. I'm not so shy in saying that. I'm thankful for the experience I had. The previous church I was at for 10 years, I got to sit under a man who was in the ministry for 40 years. And then, by dumb luck, we don't believe in luck, by some coincidence, God ordained it, I praise Him for it, I get to go to another church where the guy's been in ministry for 40 years. Do I just sit there and go, well, Jesus, just you and me and the Bible, and that's all we're going to use. Do you think I might ask Him a question or two? Yeah, I'd be stupid not to. Just stupid. And if you just think it's just you and the Bible and the Holy Spirit out there and it's just you guys and no one else, you're missing out. You're not really reflecting your entire goodness. Because goodness comes from examples. You can learn how people practically live out their Christian life. The third challenge is to be able to be convicted. If you were to be convicted in court of being a Christian, would you be able to be convicted of it? would there be enough evidence to show that you're a Christian? Here, Demetrius has the evidence. He's the example. He has the evidence. This guy for sure is a brother. This guy does it the right way. If you were in court, could you be convicted of being a Christian? What kind of music do you listen to, ma'am? Hannah Montana and the worship team from... And you get a little nervous. Sir, when was the last time you got liquored up? Well, I've been good all week. Only had 3 drinks every night. Sir, how do I know when you're a Christian? When was the last time, if you're so convinced that Christianity is the way to go, when was the last time you told somebody about Jesus Christ and how to go to heaven according to your Bible? I'm under oath? Yep, well. When was the last time you showed your goodness, encouraged somebody, expose some wickedness in your own house, in your own church, in your own workplace, and you found an example either to follow or to tell somebody about? When was the last time you could prove in the court of law you were a Christian by your goodness? That sounds challenging. It is. If you were to judge your spiritual fruit, how would that fruit that's on your tree, goodness, look? I have an apple tree that's in Brian Guthrie's yard. I didn't know it was an apple tree until we had a windstorm and there's 1,000 apples sitting on the ground. I'm hoping the lawnmower gets them, but they just seem to sit there. You ever see some bad fruit? Bugs are in there, they're half eaten, they're all bruised up. Kids don't seem to mind. Look, Dad, a worm. But if you were going to look at your fruit, how's that apple looking? How's it looking? Is it bruised? Is it banged up? Goodness, well, it's easy to gloss over in the fruit of the spirits, and I glossed over it in my own Bible study on Wednesday night. It's so important to what we do. It's about being energized to do good works. Energized. Energized, like the Energizer Bunny. Remember the Energizer Bunny? You'd be banging away at that drum going on and on forever. Are you energized to be a good Christian? Expressive. Are you able to express what goodness is? Benevolent. Are you living like you ought to? Are you giving like you ought to, not just financially? Active. Are you doing what God wants you to do? You should be so zealous about doing the right thing that you actively and sharply rebuke sin and actively and sharply encourage godly behavior. How is that going in your life? Remember, godliness is not just the absence of evil, but the active and continual seeking of good works and continuing to do them. Let's pray. Pastor Brent, will have you come up?